We're holding in Shabbos, Ois Chaf, bottom of page 26. We talked about before about the importance of emunah in Hashem. We talked about that we brought the pasuk from Kehela, Sof Yavar Kol Nishma, Esel Lekim Yirav, fear in Hashem, rather. So now that leads the Gemara into a further discussion related to that topic of Yiras Shemayim. So Amar Shlokish, my dichtiv, what does it mean? It says in a pasuk in Yeshaya, v'hoya emunas itecha, the faithfulness of your times will be choisen, strength, Yeshua's salvation, chochmas, wisdom, vadas, and understanding. So then the pasuk finishes off, yiras Hashem hi yotzar. So in context, the pasuk is talking about during the time when they're being threatened by Sancheirev that you're going to have Hashem will be faithful to you and save you and so on and so forth. But what are the six expressions emunas itecha and so forth? So those refer choisen literally means strength. Yeshua means salvation. Meloshin Yeshua. Chochmas wisdom vadas and understanding. So Resh Lakish is going to explain that those refer to the six sdarim of the Mishnah. So in other words, the Navi is hinting at, even though of course in his times they didn't have the six sdarim arranged as we have now, but the topics existed. The Maharal has a whole explanation about it. And in fact, that they break down Zroyim and Moyed are about the natural world in a certain sense. Zroyim is about the earth growing vegetation, and Moyed is about the movements of the planets and stars that make the day and night and the annual cycle. Noshim and Nezikin have to do with human society. Noshim about the women's part, and Nezikin more about the men's part. And then Kodshim and Taras have to do with higher things that have to do with Ruchnius, the Korbanus and Tumah v'Tahara respectively. So that whole concept existed, of course, already in Yeshaya's times, and therefore he can be hinted at it. So Amunas is a Seder Zroim. The word Amunas refers to Seder Zroim. So Rashi explains because much of Seder Zroim is about the things that a person has to give from his produce, Peya, Truma, Samaisuris, etc. And it depends on a person has to be faithful, a person has to be trustworthy and give those. In fact, you have in the Mishnayos over there, we had it briefly before in Seder Zroim, that a person who is trustworthy about these things, who's not a run-of-the-mill Amoretz, who we have to suspect doesn't Maiser his produce, someone who is trustworthy about it is called a Neman, same church as Amunas. Tosfos brings, and it's brought over here in parenthesis inside Rashi, that Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that the famous expression "mamin b'chei ha'olam b'zerei," that another meaning of emunah in this context is the farmer believes and trusts in Hashem and plants. In other words, so he's putting in his effort, he's making his keli, but he realizes that's the Eibishter that gives him success. There's sichas where the Rebbe expands on that idea. In other words, the idea is, you know, a Jewish farmer plants and l'havdil a goyish a farmer plants. But the difference is the Jewish farmer is working within the world, but he realizes he's doing it with this emunah that Tosfos is describing from the Yerushalmi, that he realizes that, oh, that all of the physical effort he's putting in is only the keli for the bracha of Hashem. Marsha has another point also. The beginning of Seder Zroim is Masechta Brachos, and that has that talks about the 100 brachos that a person has to say every day, and the greatness of answering Amen to them. So that's another meaning of Amunas, the trust that we show in Hashem that expressed in the brachos that we say, and the Amen that we say to them, which also expresses that we believe that what it said in the bracha is true. So that's Amunas. Itecha is a Seder Moed. The next word in the pasuk, Itecha, your times, refers to Seder Moed, which is all about the things that happen at specified times. Choisen is a Seder Noshim. The word choisen, which means strength, refers to Seder Noshim. So how does it? Rashi explains that the word choisen also comes from a word that means Yoshim. The Aramaic word for Yerusha is Achsanta, which is from the Shurish Ches Samach Nun. So, which is the same shirtish over here. So therefore, and Seder Noshim is about marrying and having children who will eventually be a person's heirs. So in that sense, then Choisen refers to Seder Noshim. Marsha says another point is the word Choisen itself is actually an acronym for Chelek Seder Noshim. So you have right there, and you have the Rosh HaTevis of it. And then another point Eitz Yosef points out also, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that a woman helps strengthen a man. She's like a wall around him. So this is why we have, for example, by a wedding, the palace circles around the chosen, representing that she's going to be his wall. So therefore, she gives him strength, where the word chosen also means strength. So therefore, it refers to Seder Nashim. Yeshuas the Seder Nezikin. The word Yeshuas, salvation, refers, salvations in the plural, refers to Seder Nezikin. So how does it? So Rashi explains, because it saves people to be from damaging other the dinim in Seder Nezikin, save people from damaging each other and from being liable to pay for damages. Marsha says another point as well, that at the beginning of Bava Kamma, at the beginning of Seder Nezikin, when it talks about the Abba of Nezikin, he has a whole explanation over there that they represent four different dangers that a person might be exposed to, and also the four Malchias and whatever, that we ask Hashem to save us from all of them. So therefore, that's another reason why Nezikin can be called Yeshuas. Chochmas Zeseder Kodshim. The next one, Chochmas, refers to Seder Kodshim, which is rather complicated. You need a lot of chokhmah to understand it. Vadas, the Seder Taris, and Das, then Seder Taris, which requires, Rashi explains, Das is higher than chokhmah, and Seder Taris is more difficult than Seder Kodshim. Which Marsha points out, really, I mean, in a certain sense, Kedusha is greater than Tara. But the fact is, we're doing them in the order in which they are in Shas, where Kodshim comes before Taris, and therefore the order in the Pasuk Chochmas, and then Das has to go in that order. Agav, for that reason, by the way, you have a number of Sfarim that have to do with Hilchos Nidah, which is nowadays almost the only part of Seder Taris, that Negei Halacha L'Maisa. Many Sfarim written on that topic have the word Das in their title. The Chavis Das, for example, and a number of other such Sfarim, all based on this Gemara, that Das has to do with Taris. Ba'filo hochi yiras Hashem hiyotzorei, nevertheless, continues with Shlokish, the Pasuk finishes off, the fear of Hashem is his treasure, meaning, in other words, all very nice, a person is learning all the Shisha Sedarim, but the main thing is that he has to have yiras Shemayim to accompany it, otherwise learning all those things doesn't count for much. And Rashi points out, also, yotzorei means, in other words, that's what makes it, that it becomes a storehouse by a person, that he remembers his learning. If he lacks yiras Shemayim, then eventually he's going to forget what he learned from all these various Shisha Sedarim. So all of that is one explanation of that pasuk v'hoya munasitecha. Omer Rav, or Rava, though, gives a different explanation of those phrases in the pasuk. They're referring to the questions that a person is asked when he comes in front of the Beis Din Shomayla after 120. So each of the six things, emuna, sitecha, and so forth, is going to refer to one of those questions. So b'shosh machnisin adam ladin, when a person is first brought into judgment in front of the Beis Din Shamayla, oimer or oimrim loy, they ask him the following questions. The first one is nasasa v'nasata be'emuna, did you do your business with honesty? So that's emunas. Now there's Gemaras in a couple of other places in Sanhedrin and Kiddushin that say that a person is first judged about Divrei Torah. So Tosfos in those places asks, what about all Gemara that say Nasasa and Asata Ba'amuna comes first? So Tosfos in various places gives a couple of answers. One of them is that we're talking over here, a person, so here we're talking about a person who did learn Torah, but he wasn't Keveya Iti. So therefore, the first thing they ask him is, they don't need to ask him, in other words, they're next going to ask him Kavata Itim La Torah, but they don't need to ask him that first, because he did learn Torah. So therefore, the first question they ask him about business, whereas the Gemara in Sanhedrin over there is talking about when a person wasn't Oisik in Torah at all, then the first question is, why didn't you learn Torah, or why didn't you at least make a Kviyas Itim for it? Another answer Tosfos gives is that, yes, the person is going to be asked first about whether he did business honestly, but when it comes to the punishment, if he needs one, then that's going to be the first punishment he's going to get, is for failing to learn Torah. In other words, when the Gemara expresses in those places, tchilas dinay shel adam, the word din, Rashi explains in a number of places in Chumash, the word din has multiple, the word mishpat, the word din, whatever, has multiple meanings. It can mean the judgment, it can also mean the verdict, and it can also mean the punishment. So Tosfos, the second explanation is that there it means the punishment comes first for Divrei Torah. Then there are other answers. Eitz Yosef brings over here from the Maharal Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, who says that actually when we say over here Nasasav and Asata Bamuna, we're not talking about business. We're talking about actually the business of learning Torah. So Nasasav and Asata Bamuna, in other words, each of these questions, in other words, is in effect about the six Sdarim that Rish Lakish mentions. So when they ask him Nasasav and Asata Bamuna, means did you learn Seder Zroim? And the next one, Kavata Itam LaTorah, is going to be did you learn Seder Moyed? And so on and so forth. So it's not really a different explanation, but rather it's saying that each of the six questions a person is going to be asked in front of the Beis Din Shamayla has to do with one of the six Sdarim of the Mishnah. Marsha points out, by the way, that the previous pasuk before Munasi Techa mentioned that it ends off Milay Tzion Mishpat Utzdaka. Hashem has filled up Tzion with judgment and with righteousness. So therefore, that's what brings Rava to say over here that we're talking about the judgment of Hashem of a person, which is hinted at in this pasuk. So the first question is Nasatav and Asatav Amunah. Did you do business honestly? The second one is Kavata Itim LaTorah. Did you set aside fixed times for learning Torah? Which means it actually says, in other words, look, you know, a person has to have a job. He may derech eretz ein Torah, but still he has to set aside time, fixed times for learning Torah. Otherwise, he's going to be busy all day with his business and never get around to learning at all. And by the way, you have the point that the Rebbeim always said it has to be not only a kvius in time, but a kvius benefesh. It has to be something important and fixed in your mentality that this is how it has to be. So that's the kavati of LaTorah. The third one is a saktib a period of Arivia. Did you involve yourself with period of Arivia? So that's choisen, which we said corresponds to Seder Noshim. And Maushar explains, we don't mean did you accomplish period of Arivia? Because that ultimately it's not up to a person. It's up to the Eibishter who gives him children. The question is, were you oisik in it? Meaning, in other words, you may not have been able to have children yourself, but did you work to be able to marry off poor people, Yisomim and Yisomas, who otherwise might not be able to get married and start families? Were you oisik in helping them with that? The fourth one they ask him, corresponding to the word Yeshua in the pasuk, is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you look forward to the salvation of Hashem? In other words, to the salvation of the Jewish people as a whole, which is the coming of Mashiach. To a certain extent, it means also the individual person's being saved from his various troubles. Marsha explains that's why Yeshua's is in plural, because you have many different people who are looking forward to Hashem helping them at any time. So that's the piece of Yeshua. The fifth one is Pilpalta B'Chochma. Did you do Pilpul in Chochma, which a Pilpul is, in other words, sharp learning, where you're not just learning the facts as they were giving them to you, but you're delving into them, you're finding Kashis and Terutzim and whatever, and working on it. So Marshark says that corresponds to Chochmas of the Pasuk, and Marshark explains, in other words, because there can be the empty kind of pilpul, and then there can be the pilpul that actually comes, that actually is you, that actually uses Seichel. In Marsha's times, by the way, there was about a generation or two before Marsha's times, they developed a type of pilpul. You have Rabbi Yaakov Polak in particular was one of the great Chachamim of that time. He was the Rebbe of the Rebbe of the Ramah. He particularly developed a style of pilpul that became very popular among the Jews of Poland, where many, many Gdolei Yisrael of that period spoke out against it, because we don't really have any good examples of it, because Rabbi Yaakov himself didn't write any Sfarim, and neither did his Talmud, Rabbi Shalom Shachna, but based on the way Sfarim of that period talk about it, it seems it was like based on finding like very subtle chilukim in things that don't really stand up to deep analysis. Like it sounds good, in other words, but it doesn't really amount to much. So Marsha is saying that's what the Gemara is saying. Your pupil has to be with chokhmah rather than standard wordplay or whatever. The sixth one is hevanta dover mitech dover. Did you work to understand one thing from another? Which is, so Marsha explains, usually that kind of thing is called tvuna. Usually you have, like in this week's parasha, b'chokhmah over tvuna over das. But over here, since we don't have bina or tvuna in the pasuk over here, so das kind of takes the place of bina. So it means, in other words, to delve in, again, to understand, once you've given one fact in Torah, to be able to derive other facts from it, which is a lot of what the Gemara is all about. So that corresponds to Das in the Pasuk. So those are the six questions that a person is asked. And Rava finishes off, Ba'afilo hochi, even with all of that, even if he can answer yes to all six of those questions, I Yiras Hashem Hiyotzorei, if he has the treasure of Yiras Shemayim, of Yiras Hashem, then ain, then good, v'iloi loy, and if not, then he's not so well off, because he's lacking that very important ingredient. Mashal la'adam sha'am l'shluchai, it's a mashal of a person who says to his agent, halali kur chitin l'aliyah, go bring up a kur of wheat into the attic. Holach v'halaloi, so the guy goes and brings up the kur of wheat. Omaloi, afterwards the balabas asks him, irav d'li behen kav chumtin, did you mix into them a kav of chumtin, which is a salty kind of soil, which prevents you mix it in with the grain and prevents it from spoiling. You find by Yosef and Mitzrayim that he did something similar. Uichol Sdei Ha'orim, Asher Sveser Nosem Maseicha, Rashi mentions the same idea, that he took some of the dirt to the place and mixed it in with the produce. So you have a kav per kur. There are 180 kav in a kur, because there were four kav in a saw. There are rather six calf to the saw and 30 saw to the and 30 saw to the kur. So a calf is one part in 180, but that's enough to prevent it from spoiling. So now he asks, did you mix that in? Labs. He says no. In that case, the balabas tells him, would have been better if you didn't bring it up, because now it's just going to spoil over there. Without the kav chumtin, it's not going to do any good. So the same way, the yiras Hashem is like the kav chumtin, which causes that all of the knowledge that a person had and everything that a person accomplished in all these six areas, that it should be preserved. So this is the idea. This is the idea of learning chassidus and in order to remember the nois in our Torah. There's a vort on there. This is the idea of learning chassidus before davening, or learning chassidus at various times during the day. There is actually, they asked one of their rabbeim, I think it was the Tzemach Tzedek, but I'm not sure, based on the proportions that the Gemara is saying over here, if you need only one kav per kur of grain, that's 1/180th. So, okay, if you take a day and divide it into 180, you come out with 8 minutes. And yet, I think maybe they asked the Rebbe Rashab, actually, because when he set up Temple Tmimim, then they had long Sdorim and Chassidus. So based on this, you should only need 8 minutes a day. What do you have? The Seder Chassidus is an hour, 2 hours, or whatever it is. And the Rebbe answers, it doesn't just say over here you need the Kav Chumtin. It says you need to mix it in. Mixing takes a while. So in other words, not just enough to sit down and learn a piece of Chassidus. It has to be mixed in, and affect everything that you do, everything you think, and everything you say, and everything you do. So in this connection, the Gemara says, "Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Ma'arav Odom, Kav Chumtin, B'kur Shol Tvua." A person is allowed to do that. He's allowed to mix in a kav of the chumtin, of the salty soil, into a quart of grain. Ve'ene choshesh, and he doesn't have to worry that then when he's selling a quart of grain, that he's cheating the buyer, because he's not selling him a full quart of grain, because it's expected that it should have that kav chumtin mixed into it, and that's actually a good thing because it prevents it from spoiling. More on this topic about the importance of Yiras Hashem. Omer Rava Bar Rav Huna, Kol Odom Sheyesh Bei Torah Ve'en Bei Yiras Shemayim, a person who has knowledge of Torah, but he doesn't have Yiras Shemayim, Doimel Gizbo Shemosril Nachteches Apnimius, he's like a treasurer where they gave him the keys to the inner chambers, or Nachteches Achitzonis LeMosril, but they didn't give him the keys to the outer doors. But hey, Isle, how's he supposed to get in? What good are his keys to the inner chambers if he can't even get in there in the first place? The same way, in other words, Yiras Shemayim is a prerequisite to Chochmah. If he's a Yiras Shemayim, then Rashi explains, he'll now be careful, he'll be Chored, which is where we get the word Charedi from, to Lishma Velasis, then good. And if not, then his Torah is not really going to accomplish much. And further in this connection, Marisho explains, this is like you have in Pirkei Avos, Yiras Cheta, it has to be Kodemus L'Chochmosei, and then Chochmosei Miskayemus. So the same way, in other words, the Yira is the outer, is the keys to the outer chambers from which you can get to the inner ones. And in this connection, Machriz Rabbi Yanai used to announce, chaval al the Wesley Besa or Dauta. What a pity for a person who doesn't have a house. So Dauta means a courtyard, the title of Dauta of it, but he makes a gate for the courtyard. In other words, it's the other way around. Torah is a gate to enter into Yiras Shemayim. And therefore, if a person has Torah without the gate, without the Yiras Shemayim, that's the equivalent of having a gate without a chotzer. So now you have a number of the Mephoshim over here talk about that you seem to have. On the one hand, we're saying that Torah is like the inner chambers. On the other hand, now we're comparing it to the outer gate. And they talk about that there's different degrees of chachma. There's the chachma that a person naturally has. There's the chachma that a person learns from his rebbeim. And then within Yira itself, also you have various levels of Yira. The Alter Rebbe talks about this in Tanya and in one of the Mems and then Perek Mem Gimel and Mem Dalet, I think, or so. He talks about the idea. You have Yira Tata and Yira Ilah, and therefore one is a prerequisite for Torah, and the other one Yira Ilah comes as a result of learning Torah, that a person is able to develop the higher level of Yira Boshes. So therefore, the relative to the first one, the Torah is like the inner chamber. You need first the Yira in order to even be able to get there. Once you do, then Yira is like an entryway to then Yira is like an entryway to Torah. So, there in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is talking about Yira Tata and Yira Ilah, where even Yira Tata is already a high level of Yira. You have, Yon Yaakov here mentions, you have a very low level of Yira, which is Yira Sa'onesh, where a person doesn't do Averis because he's afraid of Hashem's punishment. But at least that's at least the beginning prerequisite to even start the journey. So further in this connection about Yiras Shemayim, Omer of Yehuda, Loi Boro HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Esei Lama Ela Kadesh Yiru Milafonim. The only reason Hashem created his world is that people should fear him. That people should have Yiras Shemayim. Shenem of Halakim also Sheyuru Melafonim. As the pasuk says, Hashem made that people should fear him. So, in fact, Marshall refers to, we had in Brachas, for example, that for that reason, for example, Hashem sometimes gives people frightening dreams that they should develop a fear of Hashem that they otherwise wouldn't have. Hashem makes thunder in order, like if you have a person who's particularly stubborn and then has a hard time developing Yira, then thunder helps break that, helps break that stubbornness. So Hashem does different things in the world in order to encourage that a person should have Yira Shemayim, right? Earthquakes also, yeah. The Gemara tells further in this connection, Reb Simon and Reb Elazar have a yasvi. One time Reb Simon and Reb Elazar were one time sitting together. Cholif v'ozel Reb Yaakov v'acha. Reb Yaakov v'acha was passing by. I'm Omelechad Lechadre. So one of these Chachamim, Reb Simon and Reb Elazar, one of them said to the other, the Gemara soon is going to identify which one is which. One of them says, Nekum Mikamei Degvar Dochel Chatoinu. We should stand up in his honor because he's a person who fears sin. He's a Yorechet. Omelechidach, the other one says, Nekum Mikamei Degvar Bar Urien. The other one says, we should stand up for him because he's a Ben Torah, because he's learned lots of Torah. Now, Marsha points out, it's not like the second one is saying he's only learned Torah, he doesn't have Yiraschet. If so, then yeah, he certainly wouldn't stand up for such a person. There's actually a Gemara in Gittin along those lines where there's one of the Chachamim named Gniva, who was a Talmud of Rab, but unfortunately it was a Baal Machlokas, and the Gemara says that there were Chachamim who Taka wouldn't stand up in his honor because he's Palgar, he's a Baal Machlokas, and you don't stand up for such a person. So Marsha says, of course, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha has both advantages. The two Chachamim, Reb Simon and Reb Elazar, are just debating among themselves which one is the more important one among his two qualities that makes it that we should stand up for him. So the first one says, what's going on over here? I'm telling you that he's a Yorechet, but amritly at Degvar Ba'urinu, and you're telling me that he's a Ben Torah. Being a Yorechet is more important than being a Ben Torah. So it's like you're mentioning the less important accomplishment of his, and you shouldn't be doing that. Now, which one is which? We can conclude that Rabbi Lazar, among these two Chachamim, is the one who said that the advantage is that he's a Yorichet. So in other words, it would be Rabbi Lazar says we should stand up because he's a Yorichet. Rabbi Simon says we should stand up because of Ben Torah, and Rabbi Lazar calls him out. How do we see that? To Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Lazar. It's interesting, by the way, Rabbi Lazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Usually you wouldn't have Rabbi Yochanan saying something in his name. I mean, it's also possible over here that maybe Reish Aleph stands for a different Amora. Otsa Bolam over here brings from the Yalkut actually that it's supposed to be Rabbi Lazar, but Rabbi Shimon, in which case he was one of the later Tanoim, and in that case Rabbi Yochanan might be saying in his name. Anyway, Do Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Lazar. The only thing that Hashem has in his world is Yiras Shemaim. In other words, everything else Hashem considers of lesser importance. But since Marsha says, because you have the Gemara in Brachas, Akol B'Day Shemaim, Chutz Yiras Shemaim, so it means, in other words, among the things that Hashem gets from a person, the only thing that Hashem really has, that he really appreciates, is Yiras Shemaim, because that's up to a person's Bechira. Everything else that a person can give to Hashem, then and Hashem himself provided it to the person, like you have, for example, by Tzedakah, everything is from you, and we're just giving you back what's yours. Yiras Shemaim is something that a person accomplishes, which is with his own Bechira. So therefore, Hashem has only that as the important thing. As Moshe says to the Jewish people, now Yisrael, what is Hashem asking from you? Only to fear Hashem. You have the line in Brachas that otu yira milsa zutrasihi, and yes, the Gavin Moshe milsa zutrasihi. But the point is, in other words, that that's the one thing that Hashem considers the great treasure, because he can't give it to the person. Kavyachol, the person has to develop it on his own. And you have another pasuk expresses the same idea. He said to man, "Behold, the fear of Hashem is chokhma." And the word "hein" has an extra meaning. In Greek, the word for one is "hein." The Gemara darshins this kind of thing in a few places. There's a number of places we have famously, for example, Tat Bekasbi Stein, Paspa Friki Stein. There's a number of places throughout Divrei Chazal where they darshin words in Torah as actually being words from other languages. There's a Shalach Kodesh on it that says that actually these words originally were part of Lashon Kodesh, but then they disappeared from Lashon Kodesh and were kept only in the other languages that developed from Lashon Kodesh after the Tower above. So therefore, so according to that, the word hein is actually an original Lashon Kodesh word for one. Whatever the case, the Chachamim darshan this kind of thing in many different places. So therefore, so in other words, another meaning of the pasuk is the one thing is Yiras Hashem, and that is the true Chachma. So that's the one treasure of Hashem's. So therefore, Tistayim, so yes, we can conclude that Rabbi Lazar is the one, when he wants to compliment Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha, that he must be the one who complimented him on being a Yorichet. Yechidei ha'yir ba'olam. Yira is a unique thing in the world. That's the hein, the one. It's the one unique thing in the world, unlike anything else. Marsha points out, by the way, another thing also, that the word hein itself also symbolizes unity, also symbolizes standing alone, in the sense that all the other letters of the alphabet, if you want to make 10, you combine them with a different letter. You actually have a system of exchanging letters called atbach that works on that principle. You pair together aleph with tes, beis with ches, and so forth. And then what do you have left? Hey. Hey won't combine with any other letter to make 10. The only thing is you can put it together with another hey. The same thing with the tens. Yud combines with tzadik, and chof with hey, and so on and so forth. And then you get to nun, and nun stands by itself. So therefore, the letters hey and nun represent standing alone. I'll derech, like you have the pasuk, for example, hen on levod of yishka, and that the Jewish people lives alone, dwells alone, and doesn't intermingle with the other nations. So that's another reason why the word hein actually means one. Okay, more on the topic of Yiras Shemayim. Dorish Rabbullah, my dichtiv, and this also has to do with before where we had in the Gemara that the Chachamim found Psukim and Kehelas that seemed to contradict each other, or that seemed to contradict ideas in Torah, and they were thinking to hide away Kehelas until they reconciled them. So here's one, my dichtiv. Al Tir Shaharbe, the grammar, a posik in Kehelet says, don't be very wicked. So what does that mean? What does that mean? You shouldn't be very wicked, but you can be a little bit wicked. That's not in keeping with Torah. Which Marsha explains. Now you have the posik before that goes al ti tzadik harbe, goes don't be too much of a tzadik. So fine, that the chachamim were that Rav Ullah is not so bothered on, because that we know that it means, for example, don't try to be a greater tzaddik than Hashem. The classical example being with Shoal, where he leaves alone Agag and the animals of Amalek because he thinks he knows better than Hashem. So fine, that alti tzaddik harbe is easy enough to understand. But what's the altirsha harbe? So Ella, so Rav Ullah says what it means is misha ochal shum. Suppose a person you can use a mushal for it. If suppose a person ate garlic, and now his breath smells bad, should he eat more garlic and now his breath will smell worse? In other words, it's bad enough that he already ate the garlic. At least he shouldn't compound it by doing more. So the same way, in other words, even if a person has done something wrong, a person has been a Rasha a little bit, he shouldn't make things worse. He shouldn't continue to act more and more like a Rasha. Marsha refers to, you have the idea that we know a person has to consider himself a heye beinecha kerosha, a person has to consider himself like a beinani. So what it would mean is, in other words, that if you did something wrong, then realize, you know, don't think of yourself as a rosha and look, you know, it's a done deal, I may as well just keep on doing more and more, but rather stop right there. And he brings a different girsa from Yalkut Shimoni that has a slightly different girsa. If a person ate only a little bit of garlic and his breath doesn't smell bad, then you wouldn't want him to eat more garlic and then his breath will smell bad. Meaning, in other words, that if a person did a tiny Aveda and he's still not Rubai Chayev, he certainly shouldn't be doing more Avedas and become even and then end up being majority Chayev. So that's another, that's what Shlomo means with this words Al Tir Shahar. In this connection, also talking about the Rishoyim and about their death and then that they should be concerned about it and they should be doing tshuva. So my dichtiv, what does it mean a pasuk in Tehillim? Ki en chatzugos lemoisam uvori ulam. So this is the capital is talking about the Rishoyim. And that Osaf over there, the composer of that capital, is talking about how we see how successful the Rishoyim are, and it makes a person start questioning, makes a person start having questions in Amunah until he realizes the truth. Ad Ovei Yomik Tshekeil, he says later on in the capital, and he realizes the truth of how he starts realizing the truth of how Hashem runs the world. Anyway, so you have a pasuk ki en chatzubos lemoisam uvori ulam. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk, chatzubos means bonds. You have the same word in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, in a pasuk from Yeshaya, pateach chatzubos resha. It means the bonds or the chains. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk, it means something like the Rishoyim, when they die, they're not bound in chains or whatever. They die peaceful. They die peacefully. Uvori ulam, and they're healthy ulam. Where the word ulam, the different mafoshim on the pasuk have different explanations. Some of them say that, like the Gemara is going to say over here, that it means an ulam, a large hall, like they're as comfortable as it, and solidly built as a large hall, or it means they have beautiful halls and palaces. Evan Ezra says over there it may be related to the word kale, which means strength, and therefore it means they have they're healthy and they have their full strength. Anyway, so Rav Barab Ula is going to douse in the pasuk. Means Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loi Dayan L'Rishoyim She'enin Charedin V'atseven Miyom HaMisa. Not only is it bad enough that the Rishoyim are not worried about and sad about the day that they're going to die. The word chatzubos is darshaning as short for charedin v'atseven. So not only are they not concerned about that they're going to die and realize to do tshuva, ela shalibam bori lahem ko'olam. On the contrary, their heart is as healthy and as strong by them as an ulam, or like the ulam of the Beis Mikdash, which had a big wide door. In other words, they're wide open and they figure they can do whatever they want. So they should realize that one day they're going to die, and that should motivate them to do tshuva. And instead, they're not. And they figure we're going to live comfortable, peaceful lives, and we can do whatever we want. V'hainu d'amar Rabba. This also fits with what Rabba says. My dichtiv. What does it mean in Kapitel Memtes, which appropriately enough we say in a shiva house? Zed darkum kesel lomoy. This is their way. Kessel for them. So the simple meaning of kessel is foolishness, like Maloshin Ksil. But here the Gemara is dashing that the word kessel also means their kidneys. So Yodin Rishoyim should die on the Misa. The Rishoyim know full well that eventually they're going to die. They know nobody lives forever. Yet the Yeshlam Chelav al Kislam, but still they have fat on their kidneys. The kidneys in Gemara terminology are where a person thinks and makes decisions, like Voichin Kloyus Volev. So therefore, so they have a covering of fat covering it up. So therefore, it means that prevents them from thinking and motivating themselves to do better. Shema Toma Shchucha Hinehen. So you might say, okay, you know, it's not their fault. They forgot. They're so full of chelev. They're so full of fat that they forgot, and they're only shoyim. Talmud Loma, therefore the pasuk continues, Vachareim Befiim Yutzu Sela, and after them, with their mouths, they state it. Yutzu means they acknowledge Sela forever. In other words, they talk about it. They talk about that one day they're going to be gone. And nevertheless, they don't do tshuva. Maushar explains, in other words, that you have the previous pasuk. So you have like this. A couple of psukim earlier, it says kirba matema la'olam. Their graves are going to be their houses forever. So they realize that one day they're going to be in the grave, and still that doesn't motivate them to do tshuva. Maushar says also you have the pasuk va'odim bikar bal yolin. A person doesn't sleep in honor forever. In other words, they realize that they're not going to be forever in olam hazeh. Nevertheless, the good that they have in Olam Hazeh causes them to overlook that. And then you're going to say they forget it, but they're actually verbalizing it, they're actually saying it, and nevertheless, it doesn't motivate them to do tshuva. The Mishnah says, "Al sholosh averus noshim meses b'shas ledosim." There are three averus that if women are not careful with them, that causes them to die in childbirth. Because they're not careful with the dinim of nida and with taking challah from their bread and with lighting candles for Shabbos, which is why this comes in this parak, because the subject of this parak is Shabbos candles. So we're going to talk about in a second. Yeah, Rashi mentions that there's a connection, and that Rashi brings from a medrash that there's a connection to the chetei tadas. Yeah. In the positive sense, you have the Rebbe talked about these mitzvahs all the time. You have the acronym of them as Chana, Chala, Nida, Havlokas, Aner, and the special mitzvahs of the Jewish woman. So yeah. So our Sholosh Averus Chola. So Nida, my timer. So first of all, why is it that a Nida, that not being careful with the halachas of Nida can cause a woman to die in childbirth? Because she's messing up, she's doing an avera that involves her insides, that involves her womb where blood comes from. Therefore, she ends up getting punished with that same part where she ends up in childbirth, that she's in danger when she passes away. So the Gemara says Tenach Nida. Okay, well that explains what Nida has to do with dying in childbirth. Why is it the other two also? And the answer is kedidorashahu glila alei derev chista. Like a certain person from the Galil, from the north of Eretz Yisrael, gave a drosha in front of Rav Chista. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, revius dam nasati bachem, which actually it's going to explain all three of them, not just Nida, but we're going to have a new explanation for Nida, and also it's going to explain the other two as well. Revius dam nasati bachem. Hashem says, I placed a revius of blood in you, because in throughout Shas, we have the concept that a revius of blood is the absolute minimum that a person needs to survive. For an adult, they need much more than that, but pastors were talking about even for the tiniest baby, they could just barely make it with a revius of blood, but no less. So al iske dam his hautiyaskam, and Hashem says, I warn you about mitzvahs involving blood, about the mitzvahs of nida and then related mitzvahs. also racious korosi aschem. I called you Jewish people racious, the first, as you have a pasuk in Yumia, racious tvuasa, that were the first of Hashem's harvest. And I'll just say racious is out yeschem. And I warned you about racious, that chala is racious arisasechem, the beginning when you first make a batch of dough, that you take chala from. Neshama shenasati b'chem kruya ner, and the neshama that's placed in you is called a candle. Al iske ner is how to yeskem, and I've warned you to be careful. Ner Hashem nishmas adam, as it says. Al iske ner is how to yeskem, and I've warned you to be careful about the matter involving the candle to light Shabbos candles. Therefore, Hashem is saying, im atem makayim oisem mutav, if you keep those three mitzvahs, then good. V'im lav, and if not, harini notul nishmascha mikem, if not, then I'm going to take your neshama away from you. As a result of these three things. So therefore, all three of them are connected. In other words, the idea is the neshama, which is like a candle, will be taken away. The revius of blood will disappear and the person will die and you won't be called racious anymore because that only applies when you're alive. Now, why dafka women? So here's where you have, where Rashi brings from Bereshis Rabbah, that because of the Chet Eitzadas, because Chava convinced Adam to eat from the Eitzadas, Adam was the challah of the world, because the same way as when you make a batch of dough, you take challah out of it, the same way, so to speak, Hashem created an entire world and separated out Adam as the unique creature in it, and she caused him to be lost. Also, she put out the light of the world through that, and she also causes blood to be spilled because of the Chet Eitzadas, death came into the world. Therefore, she has to be particularly careful with these mitzvahs. Rashi says another reason, practically speaking, is because the woman is the one who manages the tasks around the house. So Nida obviously is hers because it's her body, and Chala and Avlakas Haner, practically speaking, she's the one who makes the dough, and she's the one who's around the house doing housework, including lighting the candles. Mausho also explains another angle on it is you have three levels of neshama: nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Nefesh is the most closely associated with the blood, ki adam hu nefesh. Ruach, that's just part of the neshama that makes a person be alive at all. Ruach is that's called also the nefesh ativis. Ruach is the sticker one, is the one that a person has intelligence, so you have ruach, the intellectual one, and then you have neshama, the ruchni sticker one, the one through which a person connects to Hashem. So each of these mitzvahs has to do with one of these three things. So if they keep these mitzvahs, then good. And if not, then neshama will be taken away, which is the chelik el kanimal. All that's going to be left is the nefesh and the ruach, and then they're just going to be left there and not do any good. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem. The Gemara is going to continue this discussion about these three mitzvahs and various other related topics. Yomim Mashiach Ge'olah, Chafala for the Beis. The Rambam famously gives the whole definition of how we know that somebody is Cheskas Mashiach and then Vade Mashiach, and he starts off by saying that a Melech, if there arises a Melech from Beis David who delves into Torah and compels the whole Jewish people to keep the Torah and fights the wars of Hashem, so that the definition of Mashiach is that he'll bring back all the dinim of the Torah in perfection. So the test whether somebody is Mashiach is within Torah, is within the keeping of Torah. So therefore, the Rambam mentions three details. Hoga b'Torah means that he himself is ibur gegeben to Torah, to the learning and the practice of Torah. Yokuf ko Yisrael means that he accomplishes that shlemus by the whole Jewish people. And Yocham, Mochamas Hashem, means that he removes any of the impediments to Torah that are being brought about by the nation. So then, and then the result of that is you pnuim a Torah v'chokhmasa, that we will be free to learn for the Torah and the chokhma of Torah. V'lo yelam noyus mevato, nobody will be oppressing us and nobody will be distracting us from learning Torah, because he'll have disposed of all of that. More on the dinim of eating and drinking, and then when you need to make a new bracha and then when not. What happens if you had fruit and you ate and you were eating it, you said bo priates, then they brought you a different fruit, which is more important, which is more important to you, more chaviv to you than the original one. Or the new fruit is one of the Shiva Saminim. Then you would have to make a new bracha on the one that you brought, because like this, you made a bracha on the less important fruit. It can't just pater the more important one, derech grara, unless you actually intended to pater it. Now, the Alter Rebbe says the same thing in Shulchan Aruch. However, in the Siddur, he says that yesh chokim, there are some poskim who disagree with that. Therefore, l'chatchila, you should have in mind the Feirush that you will pater with the original bracha, that you'll pater the more choshev one, and then you won't have to make another bracha in the first place.